All right, turning your Bibles this evening to the book of John, chapter 14. We have here a prescription for heart trouble. Now, I know this is not the first time that you've heard this passage preached from using a similar topic or theme, but it just seems to serve this chapter very well. In fact, you will notice in verse 1 it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." We have here a biblical prescription for heart trouble. Now, interestingly enough, and I was thinking about this evening and looking over my message for tonight. Interestingly enough, when you go to a doctor, a lot of times the doctor will give you a prescription to get filled. And sometimes a prescription will be maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month even, for that matter. Well, here's what I found. Here's what struck me as being very, very interesting. When the Lord said, "Let not your hearts be troubled," I thought about the biblical prescription for heart trouble. And then I looked at the chapter and I found, interestingly enough, there are 31 verses in this chapter. Maybe we could just call this a month's dose of prescription for heart trouble. Now, let's bow our heads in prayer tonight, and we're going to be approaching this subject, but let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks tonight for the blessings that we have to be here, and Lord, for the music this evening that has prepared our hearts for the message. There's been some singing today about heaven, and we know that this chapter certainly talks about heaven. And Lord, we see there is a prescription given in your word that deals with heart trouble, people with fainting hearts. And help us tonight, our Lord, to understand and to apply better what the Bible says. And bless us now as we look into the word of God together, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin this evening by looking at verse number 1. I want to begin reading by having us to look at this verse. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." You'll notice he says heart, not hearts. I believe that God deals with us and helps us on an individual basis. This is not simply a collective verse or a verse that's applying to the whole group collectively, but I see it as advice given to the individuals that made up that group of disciples. There's a reason as to why their heart was troubled. Actually, the division of chapter 14 or chapters 13, chapter 14, interestingly enough, we notice in our authorized version there is a division, the ending of chapter 13, verse 38, the beginning of chapter 14. As we can see, there's a break. But in some of the older manuscripts, there actually was no break in terms of the chapter being broken in chapter 14 beginning as we see it here. That's not to say there was any distortion in the Word of God. We're just simply talking about a break in chapters, you see. Now, so what had happened here is Peter had boldly said that he would follow the Lord. He had spoken, he'd given testimony, he had talked about how he was determined to follow the Lord. And then Jesus told Peter that he would deny him. 3 times he would deny him. So that would account for the fact that the hearts of the disciples are troubled. Jesus also had spoken of leaving them, of going away. And so there were just several things that caused them to be heavy-hearted. The Lord, of course, knowing their mood and knowing the very intent of their heart, was able to look at his disciples and to simply tell them, "Let not your heart be troubled." Then again, interestingly enough, there are 31 verses in this chapter. I believe that we could take every single verse, including the question that even Thomas asked in verse number 5. Actually, I see no problem in taking every single one of these verses in this chapter and letting each one of those verses, letting it be a dose, a daily dose of Scripture from John 14 to deal with heart trouble. You may wonder, well, how could Thomas' question have that significance? Verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? The question itself is significant because the question probes. It probes them with a question. It makes them think. Jesus, of course, responded by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the question itself, when it comes to the matter of our being encouraged and our being helped, sometimes even when we ask questions, that begins the process of cure, even in the question itself. It indicates thought. It indicates we're pondering. So the question was followed up by the answer that Jesus gave. We could actually look at this whole chapter, and we could take it verse by verse, and literally, if we wanted to, we could have a 31 services of lessons or messages from this chapter. But that's not my intent tonight. What I'm going to do is just basically lump together some truths that I think would serve as an antidote or serve as a cure or remedy for spiritual heart trouble. We know that this is not a case of physical heart trouble, obviously. It's spiritual heart trouble. Their hearts were troubled. They're sad because the Lord has talked about leaving them. And then also, too, in the chapter preceding this, Jesus spoke about one that would betray him, talking about Judas. So you would need to familiarize yourself with chapter 13 to understand the logic or the reasons as to why the disciples were heavy burdened. Chapter 13 feeds, verse number 1, actually. I suppose we could put it like this. When it comes to the remedy for heart trouble, if we wanted to just basically do a survey of the entire chapter, here's what we could suggest. Here's the cure for heart trouble. To know, number 1, that we're heaven bound. That's in chapter 14, 1 through 6. To know that we're heaven bound. Verse 2, for example, in my Father's house have been mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So in those verses, Jesus makes it clear that he is going ahead. You might say he's the advanced party. And there's going to be a place prepared. Now, by the way, the Father's house is not going to be prepared. That's already there. He's not talking about the preparation of the Father's house. That's already in place. So, heaven bound. What helps us when we're troubled down? What helps us when we're discouraged? What helps us when we have spiritual heart trouble to realize where we're going? To realize that we're heaven bound. To know that this earthly life is not the end of our existence. This is not lock, stock, and barrel of existence. This is preparatory. This is boot camp. This is training time. This is getting us ready. It's making preparation. You see, we're heaven bound. That is a fact. That is a fact primarily because Jesus makes it clear in the very language of this chapter that God's people are heaven bound. He said, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is so much that could be said about that, though. Jesus physically has gone back to heaven, but yet Jesus is personally and spiritually in every saved person's life. Because of the Holy Spirit, you see, indwelling every believer, the Lord identified, all members of the Trinity are identified with one another, So, well, if I've confused you, let this verse help you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You figure it out. Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back. That's the rapture. That's physical resurrection. But yet He has not left us alone. He's actually taken up His presence in the life of every saved person. What a blessing that is. How are we cured from heart trouble? To realize we're heaven bound. Number two, how are we cured from heart trouble? To realize that we're home folks to the Father. Proceeding on through the chapter, suggesting this outline, that's in verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11. If you've known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And so, verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? I'm simply saying tonight that it is a cure of heart trouble to know that we are home folk to the Father. Because, again now, Jesus said, in my Father's house, we're redeemed through His grace. We're identified with Christ. He's our elder brother in a sense. There's many things we can say about our Savior. He's our high priest. He's our elder brother. We're called sons of God, aren't we? So, we're home folk to the Father. That's a cure of heart trouble. To know that we're children of God. What about 1 John 3:1? That lets us know that. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. See, He's Father to us. That's a cure of heart trouble. He's not a remote God stuck off somewhere away, but no, He's personal Father to God's people. We know Him personally. Number three, cure of heart trouble, not only heaven bound, home folk to the Father, but also verses 12 through 15, heirs to the throne. Heirs to the throne. And you, if you read the verses beginning at verse 12 and going through verse number 15, we're heirs to the throne. Reading that verifies that precious truth. Now tonight, I'm actually going to have us to look as much in detail as time will permit. I may not get back to it. I may not be able to cover it like I want to. But here's the fourth reason. The fourth reason as to how we're cured of heart trouble, and that's it. You ready for this? We're Holy Spirit indwelled. Verses 16 through 18. Verses 16 through 18. We're Holy Spirit indwelled. The Spirit of God indwells every believer. That's a guaranteed promise that we're going to one day be glorified, you see. He's indwelling us. Holy Spirit indwelled. That's comforting to know that. We're not alone tonight. We have the presence of God in our lives. We'll need to look at those verses. We don't have time right now. Then we're honored with the Father's love. Number five. That's 19 through 24. 19 through 24, honored with the Father's love. You'll have to read that on your own. I trust you've written this down and you'll look at this. This will make a good devotional thought. And then we're handed His peace. Handed His peace. Verses 25 through 31. Now, coming back to my text, my point here this evening, the cure for heart trouble. I would begin by saying it like this. These disciples were crossing troubled waters. The Lord was about to die. He had already told them that He was going to be leaving them. The cross was imminent. Jesus had spoken about one of them betraying Him, namely Judas. They were dismayed. They were confused. They were troubled. He saw it written in their faces. He could see their spirit drooping. He could tell they were burdened. He looked at them then in the very aftermath of all that had been said. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Though he's facing the trauma of Calvary, this is what I like about the Lord. Though he's facing the trauma of Calvary, he's still concerned about their pain. He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about their pain. This is written very close to the time that he'd be crucified. He's thinking about their pain more than he's thinking about his pain. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I want to break this down a little bit and put this in some shoe leather tonight to all of us. Every single one of us are crossing over troubled waters today in some way, shape, or form. There's not a person right now in this audience but what does not have some kind of a trouble wrapped up in some kind of a package, something that you're dealing with tonight. None of us this evening are immune from trouble. We've got a problem going on. We've got an issue. We've got some kind of a care that's burdening us. We've got something that we're dealing with. None of us are immune, are exempt from that. I believe the remedy still stands. I believe the Bible still stands. I believe that we still have victory and a cure for spiritual heart trouble. What is causing your trouble? Is it health issues? Is it the thought of death? Is it the sad state of the economy? Is it your own personal bankroll? Is it the state of our country? Is it our national situation? Is it something going on in your family? Is it your child? Is it your grandchildren? What is it? I guarantee you, if I could read inside your soul tonight, I would see something that's stamped upon every one of your soul in terms of a trouble issue. We're not immune from it. Trouble, you see, is a part of life. It's a facet of our society. We feel like Isaiah, who one time said, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and iniquity cannot enter. Now, that's how we feel. We feel that truth has fallen in the street sometime, don't we? I'm troubled tonight when I look out and see where our country is heading. I'm troubled tonight when I think of how the politicians, they can pat themselves on the back. They're in the process of destroying a good country. That's troubling. But I'm encouraged by something. I'm encouraged by the fact that God didn't put me here to remain an American citizen forever. God put me here for a few years, and it just happened to be America where I was born. I could have been born in China. Could have been born in Cuba. Could have been born somewhere else, as any one of us. You see, that's a good reason right there just to stop and rejoice and thank God that we were born in America. Imagine being born anywhere else. But you see, we're not here to stay. We're troubled, yes, by the state of our economy, by the state of our country, but we're encouraged because we know that we're citizens of heaven. We're passing through. We're heading to a better land. And that's encouraging, isn't it? That's a cure to heart trouble when we ponder that. Jesus gave the disciples the advice that is still good for today. It's in the form of one word. He gives a one word advice. That one word advice, it's still current. It is still in order. It still works. What is it? He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Let's say believe. The word believe. The word believe. That's the advice he gives. Believe. It's easier sometimes said than done. But still yet, we've still got to believe God. Do we believe God or man? What a question. Was God trustworthy the night that you called upon Him to save your soul? Yes or no? Yes. Was God trustworthy the morning you called upon Him to save your soul? Whatever time of the day, was He trustworthy? The answer is emphatically yes. Has He ever ceased being trustworthy? He's as trustworthy tonight as He was that glorious moment when you took Him at His word and He saved your soul. God is still trustworthy tonight. He hasn't lost His ability to bless. We have no trouble now when it comes to believing He came, believing He died, believing He rose, believing He ascended, but believing the rest of it, that's where the rub comes in. If we tonight were to take a poll and ask how many of you truly believe Jesus died, every single one of us would say, I do. He was buried, we'd say, I do. He arose, we'd say, I do. He ascended, we'd say, yes, I believe that. He's coming back, yes, I believe that. But here's where we fail. We fail in believing that God is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think right now. He's able to do something right now to help our troubled hearts. He's able right now to give us what we need. We rejoice when a preacher preaches on the second coming and we thank God He came the first time, but how are we doing right now in believing Him? You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe. That's present. Not believed, you believe. That's a great cure for heart trouble. Keep believing. Keep trusting God. The Lord honors that. The Lord blesses that. He promised the safe arrival at His destiny. He said, I go to prepare. He promised that He'd arrive there, and by the way, He has. His destiny at this point of time would take Him through the cross. Yet He had reached the other shore, and He did. He told His disciples, He said, once I go over to the other shore, He said one time, let us go over to the other shore. And they, you remember that account, they got out into the waters, storms came. But my question to all of us tonight is, did they make it to the other shore in that little boat even though they have faced that storm that day? They did, didn't they? The boat didn't go down. They made it. I'm here to say tonight that just as surely as God took them to the other shore of that lake that day, my friend, God is going to take us to the other shore. And if I could borrow even the expression, the river of Jordan, though that does not depict death, really, but I'll use that to illustrate my point. God's going to get us through the Jordan River. God's going to get us through the Red Sea. He took His disciples, though it was through troubled water, to the other side of the lake. And He'll take us over too. He's never failed anyone in the middle of the lake. Boat has never sunk. It didn't go down then, and thank God it's never going to go down. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He made it over Himself. He's the scout going ahead. He's the advanced party, like the military would say. He's there preparing a place. Now, in my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. Some translators have said it's just like this bunch of apartments in my Father's house. Now, please, please, remember something. Don't get so hung up on the fact of what kind of a dwelling it is. Heaven is not totally described, or not even in the least way described, by our dwelling place. I've heard preachers actually get mad. They've said, bless God, when it comes to heaven, some people talk about, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. They'll say, I just believe it's going to be a mansion. Well, here's a problem with that. It may or may not be a mansion. But wherever it is, whatever it is, since it's near Jesus, it'll be like a mansion. The glory of it, the glory of heaven, is not going to be in the type of physical dwelling, because get this in your mind tonight. We think totally earthly. We're in these bodies. We think of houses. We think of that. But I think this. I believe what will thrill the child of God the most and make heaven the heaviness, the heavenliness is going to be where Jesus is, in the Father's house. That's going to be totally good enough. I know this. Wherever it is, however it looks, whatever the case might be, it'll be absolutely matched to our capacity, to our understanding, to appreciate fully the glory that will unfold. We will be able to comprehend it then fully, and we will appreciate it fully. I'm saying tonight, get away from this notion of trying to think of heaven like you would compare it to this earth. We're going to be in a new body. We're going to have new capacity, new ability, new appreciation. And I think seeing Him, being His in His presence, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He means all the world to me. And God, let me put it like this in a simple way. God's going to know how to make heaven just as heavenly as it can be to every one of God, of His people. That's all I can say. If that doesn't satisfy your thinking, I'm sorry. I don't know how else to put it. But if we want to go by mansions, this will help you. They're not going to stand empty. And I put it like this to you. I'm trying to illustrate what I'm saying here. When we are excited about the destination, then we can handle better the trip. Have you ever taken a trip and didn't like where you were going? Maybe you went because you had to go. Maybe it was a chore, a business trip, something like that. But on the other hand, have you ever taken a trip to where you just literally couldn't wait to get where you were going because you were taking a special trip and you just couldn't wait to get to your destination? In fact, it made the traveling a whole lot easier knowing where you were going. That's how I look at heaven. As long as I know where I'm going, I can handle the roughness of the trip from time to time. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't like to fly anymore. I've done my share of flying down through the years. I do not like flying. I feel cooped in. I view an airplane as a human-made instrument. To me, that's just too much weight to be battling the law of gravity. I just don't like the concept. I know that, as they say, you're safer flying than you are driving, but I still just don't like the concept. 30,000 feet, 35,000 sometimes above this earth. Don't like it. I'd rather drive, but I'll tell you something. Given the fact, it's just kind of hard, though, to get to certain places and crank up your automobile and start at point A and get to point B, namely wherever it might be. Let's say it's overseas. I just haven't found a car yet. I mean, they're working on them, I'm sure. But they just don't make, they haven't quite come up with a car yet that will run land and water. You're either going to have to get a boat, put up the seasickness. If you're going overseas, just plan a few, have a little time on your hand, of course, if you're going to go on a boat. And then if you're going to fly, just understand now, you are flying in a man-made item. But my point is this, though. I never will forget, every time I've been overseas, and I get in that airplane coming back home, I sure hate flying. But I sure do like the thought of getting home a lot quicker and I like the fact I'm coming home. So I can put up with that. So you see, when it comes to the matter of the destination, knowing where we're going makes us enjoy the trip better. And I think if we'd ponder more the destination, then that would help us a little bit with this heart trouble we have. Jesus had to pass through the gate of suffering before arriving back in heaven. He was the advance party. We know he's preparing a place, but remember, Calvary is the only preparation for the passage. The passage has to be prepared before the place. Many are expecting to get to heaven tonight without the connecting flight. You've heard the statement, all flights lead to Atlanta. Somebody put it in a quote. They said, one passenger is described as someone who arrives in and departs from or transfers through the airport on a given day. And then it's said that Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta has been the world's busiest airport since the year 2000. So if you get on an airplane, especially if you're taking an overseas type flight, more than likely your chances are good you'll have to go through Atlanta. Chances are good. In fact, for the sake of this sermon, let me put it like this. Let's say you have to go through Atlanta to get to Germany. You know where I'm going with this. You have to go through Calvary to get to heaven. That's the connecting flight. That's how it is. You can't get to heaven unless you go through Calvary. But thank God, once you get on the gospel ship, you can get over your heart trouble. Because this gospel ship, if I can call it that, has never had a crash, has never had a casualty, has never lost a passenger. It will make it home. Just as surely as Jesus made it through the passage, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, He is a guarantee tonight that His people will also share in that same victory. I'm saying over death, over hell, and over the grave. As He is in heaven tonight, glorified, a body, yes. If you would see Him tonight in His body, you would see Him with nail-pierced hands. You would see Him with a scar still on His body that resulted from Calvary. But yet you would see Him as glorified, as God-man. His safe arrival is our guarantee that we're going to arrive. He is our first fruits. Afterwards, they that are His in His coming. Let not your hearts be troubled. Realize the fact we're going to have a safe passage. We're going to make it. I didn't even get to where I was heading tonight with this. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, but I'll save that for a later time. But I'll tell you, though, if you take the 31 verses in this chapter, you could literally read every one of those verses, and that would be a daily dose to take care of heart trouble. Let's pray.